Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Today's guest, feels weird calling him a guest. Today's guest is Brian. So Brian Sippets, you guys know him from Advantage Strength. Except today I am interviewing him. If you don't know Brian, since 2012, he has run his own private facility called Advantage Strength and Conditioning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He was also the owner of this very website, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. And he also has quite the impressive hockey resume, including 400 AHL games played. That's a lot of Jeets. A Calder Cup trophy. He was drafted by the Atlanta Thrashers. I wonder what it's like to be drafted by an extinct team. That must be pretty cool. And what else? 4 years at the University of Miami, Ohio, where he was teammates with Anthony Donskoy. And in today's episode, we talk about how strength and conditioning really allowed him to have such a long, successful playing career, why he's shifted Advantage to mostly adult and general population clients, how his membership model has made his business resilient and thriving, even in, of course, these crazy times we find ourselves in. We also talk about how he got involved with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, so this is kind of like a little history lesson on the website, and what he learned doing it, which I just selfishly asked questions about, so I'm sorry if that's not helpful. And if you're not a member of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you should head on over. It's only $1 for the first 30 days, or just $99 for the entire year. That is saving you a bunch of money. I have not done the math. And of course, we have lots of new content on the site this week. Ryan Garrow, the head strength coach at St. Michael's College, provided us with his at-home program for his ice hockey players right now. So that's really great to look into what he's using to get creative with without being able to be in a gym. I pieced together what I called a hockey strength conditioning meta-analysis, and I looked at whether the early sports specialization pendulum has swung too far. Like the last few years, we've been like, screws over sports specialization. So I kind of look at a bunch of the old content on the site, piece it together, and give us a clear picture on when is the right age to specialize hockey players. Continuing the Own It series, Justin comes with us with an article called Own Your Wellness, where he talks about how players and coaches ourselves alike need to prioritize wellness in order to some simple things we can do to take care of ourselves so that we can get the most out of our training and our athletes. Without further ado, here is Brian Sippets. Brian, welcome back to the show. You just could not get away from hockey strength conditioning, huh?
That's true, but I'll tell you, it's kind of nice sitting on this side. No prep work needed, and I'm excited to talk from this side for sure.
Yeah, it'll be a different look for Brian. I mean, like, everyone knows you, but because you've always been the interviewer, people might not know kind of your background, your origin story. So why don't we start with how did you get involved in strength conditioning? And maybe this starts back before college.
Yeah, I mean, on the coaching side, it was definitely after my career. And so I hadn't really... I remember at one point thinking, like, I do not want to be like a personal trainer. Like, I always liked fitness, obviously, and athletics and stuff. But I was always geared more towards the coaching side than the personal training, air quotes, side. And so, you know, I kind of fell into an opportunity, which happened to be the opportunity to open Advantage here in Ann Arbor. And that's when I started coaching off ice. Like a quick backstory. I'm, you know, in college, I played at Miami. It was physical, like kind of big physical defenseman, drafted, and then, you know, had the opportunity in 2004, 2005 season, the first NHL lockout season, ended up staying in Chicago in the American League, and got a really good foothold there at that time. And so one of the thing that kind of allowed me to do that was my conditioning. And well, I mean, being 6'7" didn't hurt, you know, and being able to reach a lot of things from, you know, long arms make up for slow feet. But, you know, my conditioning, my strength, my physicality, you know, really allowed me to play at that level. And so it was something I kind of doubled down on and really prided myself in being one of the best conditioned guys on the team. You know, a guy that would outrace people, could outwork people and all of that. So I really sort of hung my hat on that, and it allowed me to play for 7 years. And so I guess that's really when I realized the importance of it. The other part of it was, you know, when I first opened Advantage, I had in my head pictured like the college workout environment. Like, you know, I have such good memories of team workouts, of, you know, all the guys working together. You know, you horse around a little bit, you laugh, and then when it's time to work, you work. And then everybody goes to the dining hall afterwards to have breakfast together or lunch together, whatever it is. And so I have such good memories of that. And so when I had the opportunity to open Advantage, I was kind of modeling it after that. Like we started off initially servicing teams. Unfortunately, we were the only place in town doing that. So it went off really well right from the get-go. And so I wanted that, you know, like a little team challenge at the end. And, you know, everybody has those fond memories of really tough workouts with a, you know, some sort of finisher or tough challenge at the end. And I wanted other people to kind of experience it and have the feelings of fitness like I had. So that's kind of where the seed was planted, I guess it would have been in college. And it's funny, I was just thinking about this. I went to a school called Culver Military Academy, which is a boarding school. And so after workouts, you know, there's really, at that point, there wasn't much emphasis on off-ice stuff or off-season training. In fact, we really couldn't, because they'd take the ice out. And so we really only had 4 months of ice all year. And so I would, we'd have these little circuits in this crappy little weight room, and it was, you know, on the cable machines and the, like the seated rows with the cables and the bench press machine, like with the stacked weights and that kind of stuff. It was just total crap. But at that point I was like, this sucks. Just, I want to get out of here. Let me go eat dinner or something, you know? So it wasn't that I really loved the training then, but then I realized as I got older and stronger that the value of it really allowed me to extend my career, and a player who, I don't know, I would say I was like a B, a B player, definitely not a blue chip, but allowed me to play for a really long time, much longer than otherwise somebody with my skill set could have, if I hadn't been in such good shape and able to do the things physically that I could do. So it was a big part of my career. And then, you know, I have such good memories of it. So it extended into my professional career.
Well, first, I'm not going to let you get away with understating your accomplishments as a player. You played over 400 AHL games, and you were a career plus 61, which is nothing to laugh at. And you also won a championship in 2008, correct? The Calder Cup?
Yeah, that's true.
So how did, after you started Advantage in 2012 and you really focused on developing that team setting, how did that change over the next 3 or 4 years leading into 2014, 15, 16?
Yeah, well, as you know, as we've talked about, you know, part of the reason for this shift of mindset for me, it just was, we focused a lot on the adult side of things because, you know, I was kind of coached. I was coached to go that way by, you know, a business coach. At one point, you know, if you don't know much about what you're doing, you hire a coach to help you out, right? So at one point I hired a business coach, and he was kind of like, well, this, you know, the youth thing is great, but then he pointed some things out that, you know, make it a lot tougher than going after the masses kind of, or general population. You know, and that is that there's a lot more turnover. There's a lot more in and out. You know, players will pop in for 3 months and then they're back out. In the hockey world, you know, you're crushed in the summer and then you're just scrapping in the off season, or sorry, during the season. So he pointed out a few of those things that maybe would make it a little bit easier if we bolstered things with the adult population. So the last couple of years, we've been really looking to grow our adult population. And you know, the numbers speak for themselves in terms of the business. Our business has grown 15 to 20% every single year. And, you know, so we have this slow, steady growth as we add more and more adults. We still have the youth side, you know, it's still a big part of what we do. It's still our reputation. Like, we're still known as the place that does the hockey training and the youth training and stuff. But at this point, my eyes are focused on kind of the general population. And the reason it becomes a tough conflict, and I feel like I wasn't able to put everything I had into hockey training and strength and conditioning, is because, you know, you're talking a different message. There's a different message to adults. Adults want to hear things in a different way. And so it all sort of boiled down to marketing bandwidth, and then my own, I guess my own ability to shift gears. Because with kids, with hockey players, it's performance, it's go, it's power development. It's you know, working with kids who are primed and ready to be lean, build muscle, that kind of stuff. And with the adults, it's a little bit different. There's a lot more kind of handholding and a lot more, you know, avoiding pain kind of stuff. You're more or less correcting injuries rather than really pushing hard. With some exceptions, obviously. But so I guess the turn that my business has taken has been, you know, looking more towards the adult market. We've continued to grow. We keep our hockey side. We still work with teams, but the difference is now, the what would not have happened probably 3 years ago is, you know, we've now stopped allowing teams to come in after 5:30. In the evening, because we're too crowded with adults. And so that's kind of a decision we had to make last year, about 2 years ago, where, you know, our adult groups were now full enough where we just didn't have the room to have an adult group and a group of teenagers in there too. So that's kind of the tipping point for us, is when we realized, like, oh geez, we're gonna have to make some decisions here. So we went, kind of followed the strong business model, and you know, so because this is what, you know, the business is what supports my family. The brick and mortar business is what does that. So, I'm really happy with where it is. I do miss the hockey. I wish I could be more into it, but, you know, I coach two teams. I coach a high school team and my son's team. So I'm still involved in the hockey world. But the training side, we're looking at more of the 35 to 65 year old crowd now, rather than the teenagers and younger.
What was one of the hardest decisions you had to make from a business perspective? Or maybe it wasn't a moment like, oh, we're shifting to adults. Maybe it was more gradual. So maybe you could just touch on your experience shifting your business from youth athletic performance hockey players to general population.
Well, it was that, you know, it was, that is the hardest, that is the hardest, that's the hardest I fought. And I was really, honestly, I had this coach and I was paying hundreds of dollars monthly, and he kept kind of urging me to go this way. I just wasn't ready. And didn't really want to, not throw away, but didn't want to lose focus on what we had in the hockey world. And so it was definitely that switch to really say, like, okay, like 2 years ago, and I still don't like it, but 2 or 3 years ago, it would have gagged me a little to talk about, like, fat loss. You know, I've never had a weight problem. I don't understand it necessarily in terms of how I need to understand it if I'm going to be writing marketing copy for it. But yeah, so it was definitely the hardest thing to turn away from hockey, but you get where I'm going with that.
More like shift away.
Shift away, yeah. And because it's obviously, the other thing you talk about too is, where is your unique skill set, right? And so I took myself out of a place where I have a unique knowledge and a unique skill set and a unique reputation, and threw myself in with everybody else, you know, that, and in a market where, you know, it takes a lot of really different skills to to be successful, I guess. And so really hard shift. I fought it for a long time. It was about a year of urging and like coaxing. And, you know, at one point I was just like, fine, I'll do it. And so, you know, from then we've seen a lot of growth. I'm still really happy with the business. I wouldn't choose to do anything else, but I do miss the feeling of being in hockey as much as I was.
I want to ask one more business question because we're recording on April 22nd, 2020. So we're in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. And this is going to be a really tough time for gyms and businesses. And a lot of gyms are going to have to change, to pivot. And so what would you say to a young gym owner who is going to need to have hard decisions? What skills do they need to evaluate and make those hard decisions?
You know, I will say, and if you already have a gym, you know, it's kind of too late to put this in play, but thank goodness for a membership model versus a pay per session model. So I think if we're talking about skills, I think one of the number one skills you can have is the skills to sell and be confident with a membership model over a pay per package. You know, if you're paying per session, it's easier to sell. It's safe because you can kind of say, well, you know, you'll have a year to use these 5 workouts and you can get most people on that. But if you're telling people, you know, I would never phrase it this way, but, you know, at our place, you're when you commit, right, when you sign up with us, you're committing to about $3,300 over the course of a year. And that's like a standard adult membership. And so it's an annual membership, but guess what? Right now we're in a pretty good spot because we've had some people go on hold, but just about 90% of our membership is still paying their monthly membership. We're obviously doing a lot of different things. I can talk about that in a second. We're doing a lot of different things to bring value. But you know, thank goodness for the membership model, because I know there's a cycling studio right downstairs from us who takes, I would call it easy money. Like you work with ClassPass and, you know, you just pay per session. Like I said, much easier to sell, but they're hurting right now. So thank goodness for the membership model, first of all. So if you're going to start a gym, if you're thinking about that, even if you have a gym right now, I would highly, highly, highly recommend going with the membership model versus the per session model, which has its benefits, but on the whole, it's going to be a much safer, stronger business with the membership model. So that's number one. Number two, I think honestly that the adult being more heavier on the adult side now has allowed us to be strong during this time, because most, I'd say over half of our youth, half of our kids, you know, pulled the plug, they went on hold for the time being because, you know, things are just kind of getting flipped around. They don't have their sports, so they're not really focused on training. You know, we have some that we do Zoom calls with, like we'll do like personal training with the Zoom call and all that. And we're still putting out all the youth information. We have a youth director who is doing an awesome job, you know, getting content out for them and working with kids through Zoom and putting out weekly workouts and that kind of thing. So obviously what we're doing is remote, virtual, but we've been able to bring enough value through, you know, whether it's a live workout, whether it's a trivia night, whether it's a happy hour. We're doing a lot of things to increase engagement and keep engagement really high and keep the value really high so that, you know, people feel good about, number one, paying and supporting a local business, and also feel like they're getting the value out of their membership. We've had some people say they feel like they get more out of it now because they can do a workout whenever they want, right? They just pull up one of our recorded ones or they join a live workout. We do 2 a day. And so that's kind of how we've survived this. And we're, all of our coaches are still employed. We kind of just shifted, you know, instead of writing programs at the gym, everybody has a caseload of 20 to 30 members that they're responsible for. So, you know, a couple times a week, they'll call and catch up with them. They'll put together personalized programs for them based on the equipment that they have at home. So we kind of have the live workouts going. We have essentially personal training at home. And that's the way we've been able to maintain value for our members and also, do pretty well for ourselves and also keep all of our coaches employed. So all of that leads back to, whatever you're doing, whatever your business plan, you should include a membership model up front. It's tougher to sell annual memberships, but you know that commitment and that money is going to be there if something like this should ever happen again.
Yeah. Thank you for that, for those ideas. Those are brilliant, and congratulations. I commend you on being able to weather the storm here and keep going. I think that really speaks to your adaptability and your versatility. I want to bring up now, where does hockeystrengthandconditioning.com come into the equation for you? When, where, with who?
Yeah. And I had always kind of known about it. It was a good resource for me as I first started coaching. And then I was, so much of what happens in your life is circumstantial, where you happen to be and who happened to be there. You'll hear Mike Boyle talk about that a lot, and a lot of young strength coaches talking about who they were around and who they had the opportunity to coach with or get to know. For me, being here in Ann Arbor, having kind of a hockey background, I had the opportunity to get to know Carrie Kyle and Daryl Nelson. So Carrie, they were dating at the time, and Carrie was the skating coach for the national team. And I had done some training with her, kind of long story short, but we lived in Chicago when I was playing there, but we had bought our house here in Michigan. So we were sort of back and forth a little bit, but when I was here in Michigan, I would train with Carrie. And so when we sort of got back here permanently, I went to her and started doing some coaching with her, like private lesson type stuff as I was trying to sort out my job situation. And at that time, she introduced me to Daryl, who was, the coach for the national team at the time, the strength coach for the national team, well known in our industry. And then, got to know him obviously over the course of probably 2 or 3 years before he approached me with about the podcast. And so I wasn't one of the original members of the site. It actually started with Mike Boyle and Anthony Renna. And I think Sean Skane was in the first group there.
I think Mike Bertenza was in the folder and, as well.
Yeah. So those four guys kind of started it. And then when strengthcoach.com took off, Anthony and Mike were kind of out. And Daryl kind of took over their shares. And so then it was, Daryl Nelson was in and part of the group. And then Kevin Neild came in as sort of a content contributor. And so his contribution was content based rather than kind of buying into the site. But so they went along like that for a while. And then they kind of decided that they wanted the podcast back. But, Rena was busy with the strength coach podcast. And so Daryl was just kind of around, and he wasn't allowed to train his personal clients in the USA's facility. So he would use our original facility. And we were just kind of sitting around. He's like, "Hey, would you want to do the podcast?" And to me, I was like, a year or two into this, and I'm like, I could, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions because I'm not going to be contributing much to the conversation. And so I was like, I gave it a thought, and I was like, why not? It'll keep me, because at that point we were still really, hockey dominated, youth dominated. And I was like, it'll keep me up on trends. It'll help me see where the industry's going, see what I need to be looking more into and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best decisions. I've in my post hockey career, I've been pretty apt to just say like, yeah, let's give it a shot. Why not? What could go wrong? And hasn't bit me in the ass yet. But anyway, I started just doing the podcast, and I called, you know, I remember my first podcast was with Anthony Donskoff because we were college teammates. And so I was like, you know, that's an easy one for me. So, you know, I called and then obviously talked to Potenza and Sean Skane and Daryl and Kevin Neild. So all the guys that were the four who were the owners of the site at that time, talked to them. And then just sort of branched out from there and started just calling guys, and, you know, they were excited to do it. And that's been one of the coolest things to see is, you know, somebody that I didn't know, I could kind of track them down or at least know one of their connections, you know, and say, hey, Daryl said I should give you, or Daryl gave me your information. And, you know, I'd love to talk about this, that, or the other thing. And so I'd reach out and get to talk to like NHL strength coaches and top college strength coaches and people in the private sector who are doing really well and all that. So really it was just kind of, I don't know, it was an amazing opportunity just to call them and just talk. And at that point, you know, for me, I was just doing basically a lot of listening. And so you learn from the top people just by asking them questions and things like that. It is exactly what any young strength coach should be doing. It just happens to be recorded. You know, so like if you have an opportunity to talk to somebody who's really smart, ask them questions, listen to the answers, and kind of see where that leads you. And so that was the biggest value. And so after about a year of doing the podcast, Daryl said at one point, like, you know, maybe this would be easier if, because the guys were spread out all over the country. And he said, you know, maybe this would be easier if it was the two of us. And so we kind of talked, the five of us, and just kind of decided to have the site with Daryl and I here in Ann Arbor. So, and we went along like that for 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, once Daryl lives out in Idaho now. And so once he wasn't with that national team anymore, again, it got really tough. And we at Advantage were more on the adult side anyway as well. So, you know, it was time to take this great resource and, you know, it's basically a catalog of great articles and programs and all of that, and time to brush the dust off. And that's when you came into the picture, as, you know, somebody who was interested in helping out.
What did you learn as a podcast host, maybe about asking questions or about interacting with people who you look up to? And of course, I ask this very selfishly, as this is the exact position I like really now find myself question. In.
I think one of the most important things is to have kind of a rough outline, but not actual questions written down. And, you know, like you and I chatted a little bit before this episode, and it's kind of like, you want to talk about this? I don't know. Let's see if we go there. You know, it sounds so much better, and you get more authentic answers when things just flow from one thing to the next. And so sometimes it's better to go in, you know, you have to obviously prepare a little bit, but sometimes it's better to go in without a hard agenda, and then you see what comes up. And if you pluck a nerve with somebody, they'll get going on something. And sometimes that's where the best conversations are. In fact, most of the best, I'll be honest, a lot of the best conversations are after the sign off or the, thanks so much for coming on. So always keep it recording just in case.
That's good advice. And I think this applies a lot to like going to conferences and just general networking. Like I'm thinking of the time at Perform Better last summer when, you know, everyone's in line to talk to Mike Boyle and you only get to ask Mike Boyle one question. And so kind of like, what am I going to ask Mike Boyle? You spend like 20 minutes thinking of what to ask him. Then you get up there and you kind of like choke on your words, or at least I choked on my words. And then you get your 10 seconds in mic and then you move on. So I guess I just think like the more colloquial, relaxed approach is successful of course, for interviewing, but also just interacting with colleagues and trying to learn from them.
Yeah, I had an experience like this with Tom Plummer two months ago about, you know, at our mastermind meeting. He presented at our mastermind meeting, and, you know, he came on and did his thing, and you asked questions and that, and then obviously he's a friend of the guy who runs the mastermind, and he was like, yeah, I'll see you guys at the cocktail hour, or the, you know, we had like a little party after dinner, and he closed the place down, like, and more, you know. That's when you get into like more authentic, at that point pretty tipsy, but authentic conversations, and kind of get past all of the formality that comes along with asking Tom Plummer a question, and it gets right to like real discussions, and you see what he's really passionate about, and I think it goes the same for any professional or anybody who's done really well in their industry.
Yeah, I think buying someone a drink is never a bad idea. Like if you're at an event and you have the opportunity to have a drink with someone, one, you know, like a little bit of whiskey won't hurt how well you ask questions, and, right, and just relax and give them an incentive to join because you're going to offer them a drink.
I'm in Vince Gabriel, so I'm in Vince Gabriel's mastermind.
Oh yeah, and
did private coaching with him before, and he was like looking over something that I wrote, like an ad or some marketing copy or something like that. And he's like, do me a favor, go home, have a couple beers and try this again. He's like, you need to relax. So yeah, that, you know, never hurts.
Yeah. I think the Ernest Hemingway quote there, write drunk, edit sober, might apply to more than just writing.
Right. There you go.
So what's next for you now? I mean, obviously no one knows what's next for anybody, I guess, but like, where do you see the future of Advantage going? Where do you see the future of your career going? Are you probably a lot more focused on family? What are you excited about on that front?
Well, I'm excited for the gym to open again. I think this, either, you know, I don't know what it is. I tend not to like pat myself on the back as much, but I think we've done, and the team has done, like all of our staff has done an amazing job over the course of the last 5 weeks. We're into week six now. Over the last 5 weeks, you know, we have more engagement than ever before in our members' Facebook group. We have people who are really happy. Like, we have a gym where you come and work out, and the gym's not even open, and people are happier than ever with what we're doing and what they're paying for and the value that they're getting. So, you know, I think we've done really well, and we have good people on our team that have made this a good experience for people, a much better experience for people. This is another reason, like, so being with adults right now, adults at this point are, the things that they need help with are structure, maintaining a fitness habit, even though maybe it could go away because the rest of their schedule is shot. You know, taking care of themselves so that they can be a better employee at home, a better teacher at home, all these other things. So all of this stuff that goes along with maintaining a fitness routine is so much easier and so much more important and so much more appreciated by adults right now than it is for kids. You know, I think kids would, there's always going to be those kids who want to work out and like want to get and have a really good workout at home. But a majority of the kids are going to be like, yeah, I got online school today, and then I'm going to play some Fortnite, and I don't have to worry about hockey right now, so I'm not going to. So the position that we're in now with the adults has allowed us to really bring a lot of value. And so I'm excited for the gym to open again. I think we're going to hit the ground running, and people are going to be really excited, and we've put ourselves in a position to have a ton of energy, a ton of excitement as we come out the other side of this thing. And honestly, I see myself as moving farther away from coaching, on the floor in the gym, worrying more about the marketing stuff and the brand, the face of the business, and, you know, being more strategic there and doing a little bit more work on the email side of things and on the writing side of things and content creation, that kind of thing. And then, you know, I'm going to be coaching. Well, for the last 2 years, I've coached my son's team. He's 10 years old, and I look forward to continuing to do that and helping out with, you know, with his hockey and watching him grow as a player and all that. So we're set up. Things are set up right now pretty well for me to have a lot of freedom and to kind of create what I want to do, exactly what I want to do in the business, and, you know, either delegate or hire out the rest of it. So I'm really excited. I think we've put ourselves in a really great position and people are excited about Advantage right now. And it's all good things looking forward. And I plan on doing this for a long time.
That's great. And like I said, like the success you're having right now speaks a lot to who you are as a person and how adaptable and how you can just adjust to anything that's thrown your way, especially something like this. I don't think it'll be long before you might have your own mastermind, Brian. Like I really don't think it's that far off. And hopefully I'll be able to go out to Michigan for that, because I think that'll be a lot of fun. Are there any, why don't you take this opportunity, because you have been so influential on this website and keeping this thing going. And I know it might be tough for you to kind of say goodbye. And of course, you're always welcome on the content creation side, on the podcast side, but why don't you take this time to address the faithful Hockey Strength Conditioning audience?
Well, I'll say, you know, this, like I talked about before, this was the opportunity to get involved with this podcast was the best step I could have taken in my hockey strength and conditioning career. And, you know, it led to a lot of different things. It led to knowing a lot more people, a lot of great connections. I have no doubt that if I were pursuing this, you know, and was going to be working with teams and you know, working my way into the collegiate setting or the NHL setting, I have no doubt that I would have now the connections to get there, because there's, you know, there's a lot of this world, there's a lot of this profession that is kind of relying on connections. And so, you know, I have this time with the podcast and my opportunity with the podcast to thank for that. And it's been amazing to get to know, you know, all of these coaches and hear from the listeners. And we did, you know, in 2015, 2016, and 17, we did the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic, where we got to meet, you know, dozens of new coaches and really just cool people. And so I want to say thank you to Daryl, and especially and Mike Potenza and Sean Skane and Kevin Neal, the guys who kind of brought me in the first place. And then, you know, thank you to everybody who's contributed to the site and, you know, listen to this podcast. It's always, you know, sometimes when you do this, you wonder if you're talking about things that people are interested in. And one day you're talking about something super sciencey, like talking to Mike Potenza about blood testing. Other times you're talking about playing games with kids and how much fun it is, and playing games with NHL players and that kind of thing. So sometimes I'm like, it's hard to know if anybody's listening, but one of the most rewarding things was at a NSCA training for hockey clinic when Roger Takahashi came up and said, you know what, I really enjoy your show. I always learn something from it. And right then I was like, you know, I guess it doesn't always have to be rocket science. Anytime someone's listening, there's always something to learn. Like if they have a learning mindset or growth mindset, they're always going to learn. They're always going to pick something up. Right. So that was kind of one of the times where it came together for me. And so I have a lot of gratitude to those guys for bringing me in. I have a lot of gratitude for those people who agreed to do podcast interviews with me. And, you know, I learned a ton doing it, and I really appreciate everybody who's listened, anybody who's commented on the show, anybody who subscribes to the show. I really am so thankful for the opportunity and the audience, and hopefully you got as much out of it, or you're getting as much out of the show as I got out of it. So, you know, the opportunity has been once in a lifetime. Unbelievable.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. And on my behalf, thank you so much for allowing me to carry the baton and keep this website going and growing. And we're excited for the future. And, you know, you're a big part of making that happen. So thank you once again.
Well, I'm here to help. And you know, wishing the best to you. I know, you know, this is, you've done a great job here today, and I expect that good things will happen with the site, and I can't wait to see, you know, what happens to this site when it's your full-time gig. I think there's a lot of really great potential here and can't wait to see where it goes.
Well, thanks again, everybody. You can say hi to Brian if you Advantage Strength on Instagram. Are you active on Instagram? You're not a big Instagram guy.
Yeah, I'm active, reasonably active.
Where's the best place people can wave hello?
Email's probably the best. I'm a little bit old school that way. And then, you know, we do have an Advantage Strength Facebook page that's reasonably active. These days we're mostly spending time in our members only Facebook group. So, you know, there, you wouldn't have access to that, but, Instagram is there. I'm always checking, and that's Advantage Strength, or at Advantage Strength. And then you can email me at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at AdvantageStrength.com. I'm happy to answer questions, reply to anything, say hey, whatever it might be.
Okay, Brian, thank you once again, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, David. Keep up the good work.
See ya. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast. I want to thank Brian Sippets once again for obviously making this possible and then coming back on to help out the site. We always appreciate all his support. And thank you all for listening. I know we're now 4 episodes in, so it really feels like we're starting to hit a rhythm, and I hope you're enjoying the content. Of course, if there's anything you'd like to see different, anything you're liking, you want to be like, David, you're awesome, then my ego would appreciate that. So you can email me, or of course Instagram DMs are always open. And I will talk to all you lovely humans very soon.